I have always loved the Buddhist take on generosity, perhaps because in Pali, the language of the Buddha, the word for it is dana, which is spelled D-A-N-A, just like my name. So, though it is pronounced differently, whenever I give my dana after a meditation retreat, I feel as though I am giving myself. In some traditional Buddhist practice, students are not even taught to meditate until they have established a practice of open-hearted generosity, dana. Lack of generosity comes from fear. Fear that there will not be enough for me. Not enough love, not enough money, time, safety, not enough grace. When we constrict in fear, we hold on to what we have all the more tightly. And the tighter we hold on, the more precious and scarce our resources seem, and so we hold on more tightly still. Generosity, it seems, does not necessarily come naturally to us. We must practice it. Buddhist teacher Jack Kornfield writes, "Our fear creates a contracted and false sense of self. This false or small self grasps our limited body, feelings, and thoughts, and tries to hold and protect them. We are afraid to open, to change, to live fully. A contracted identification with this body of fear becomes our habit. Out of this, all our greed, hatred, and delusion arise. Yet underneath it, we find an openness and wholeness that can be called our true nature, our original state, our Buddha nature. If living in this body of fear is a habit, then we must practice generosity instead until it becomes a habit. I doubt the Samaritan woke up that morning and decided to be generous. But that is what happened. The two people who crossed the road to avoid the beaten man were afraid. In biblical times, a priest and a Levite would have been conditioned to avoid the bloody scene because blood was considered unclean. But when the Samaritan came across the man lying beaten in the ditch, something different happened. The Greek text tells us that he had a gut-wrenching experience. Something moved. Something snapped in him. We have no particular reason to believe that the Samaritan was generous before that day. Samaritans were reviled by the people who wrote and read the Gospels. Yet at that moment, he was hit in the gut with empathy. His life stopped. His journey changed course. Whose life was changed more by this act of generosity? John Lennon put it this way: "Instant karma's gonna get you. Gonna knock you right off your feet. Better recognize your brother, everyone you meet." Sometimes we are given the great gift of being knocked off our feet by deeper truths. More often, we forget and we live in our body of fear, our sense of the scarcity of resources, our sense of our powerlessness, our own need, anger, and greed. There is so much in our culture that reinforces this kind of fear and anxiety, that tells us that there is indeed not enough, and that we are inadequate. Taking on generosity as a spiritual practice serves to soften and open us. Indeed, it can be downright countercultural. So, how do we practice generosity? And here I am talking both about generosity of spirit and the material generosity reflected in what you give your money to the church and elsewhere. People often want to make a distinction between these two kinds of generosity, but I really think that is a false dichotomy. They both come from the same place and are essentially the same practice. Generosity of all kinds means that we withhold less. We resist withdrawing into our tight little hearts. We stop holding on to our money with such tight hands. Indeed, as the practice of generosity deepens, we can find our hearts and our hands opening simultaneously. Generosity is one of those dynamics of reciprocity. We usually think that generosity benefits the people and the things that we give to, and so it does. Yet I also feel so much better when I live with the openness that practicing generosity brings me. I am a happier person when I can live with both an open heart and open hands. I'm happier and I'm nicer too. Practicing generosity helps me to trust that the more seeds that I send out, the greater chances for me and for the things I care about to flourish. I trust that such generosity is more than giving. It is participating in creation, creating community, creating love, making channels for the streams of love. We must practice generosity not just at the times when something smacks us in the face, but throughout our daily lives. Too often, we are like the priest and the Levite. We are conditioned by our culture to cross the street, to avoid eye contact with yet another homeless person asking for money, to assuming that the driver of the car who just cut us off is just a jerk. Through a practice of generosity, we can recondition, rehabituate ourselves. We can start from a place of abundance and generosity. And what a difference it can make. You can begin this practice right here in this congregation. That's one of the wonderful things about community. We get to practice on each other. How do you practice generosity? I see such open-heartedness among you. You care well for one another with your mini food pantry and with the Pay It Forward Fund, both of which care for others among you when they are struggling. This congregation has been like the cottonwood trees whose giving is an act of creation. You have created this entire place essentially out of nothing. This building here literally rose out of the ground simply on your generosity. There is an abundance of gifts among you. You are generous with your wisdom, your work, and your wealth. And I see also some tight-handedness and a sense of scarcity among you as well. The fear arises that there will never be enough. There will always be a struggle for money and for enough people to do the work you are called to do. And the practice of generosity does take a leap of faith sometimes. Faith that there really is enough, and there will be enough, and that you really are enough. When you give more abundantly of whatever precious resource you fear is too scarce, you can come to understand how your survival depends on such generosity. And not just the survival of this community, but of your very selves. And you see how much you can give and you can create when you practice such generosity to get together. As the hymn tells us, when we cease to give, we cease to have. And that is the law of love. And it is also important to remember that you are like no other being, and what you can give, no other can give. Intentionally cultivating and practicing such generosity not only helps others, it helps open our hearts as well. Jack Kornfield writes, underneath our greed and fear, we will find an openness and wholeness that can be called our true nature, our Buddha nature. Buddhist belief holds that at our core, each of us is deeply and fundamentally good. We possess Buddha nature. Each of us is a potential Buddha. Each of us has a deep reservoir of goodness and kindness, generosity and potential. Imagine going through your days looking for the Buddha in everyone you meet. We all want to be seen for the good, dear people we are deep inside. Yet we are so quick to judge. We fail to give others what we most want in the world. Practicing living from a spirit of generosity can change that. When I was an elementary school teacher, I never knew exactly what to do when a child told me that someone had said or done something really mean. Children are capable of saying extraordinarily awful things to each other. I knew that I had to respond somehow, but I also knew that there were at least two sides to every story and that I'd never figure out really who had started what. So often I would bring the two children together and say something like, Johnny says that you said this really mean thing to him. The accused invariably protested that Johnny had also said or done something mean. So then I would say, I know that when people say mean things, it's usually because they're having a really bad day. And I'm sorry that you're feeling so badly today. Now, more often than not, this response simply flummoxed both children, who had been expecting and hoping for some form of retribution. And I'm not sure that it ever really sunk in, but this was a way I could respond to an underlying truth. We are all Buddhas, and sometimes we're having a really bad day. So I challenge you to walk through your life this next week and beyond and search for the Buddha in everyone you meet. It's a whole lot easier with people who are being thoughtful and attentive, harder when someone cuts you off in traffic or is rude in the checkout line. Perhaps then you can say to yourself, there goes a Buddha having a bad day. It may not help them, but I'll bet you feel more open, kind, and generous. The Good Samaritan story is about recognizing your neighbor in the other. Better recognize your brother, everyone you meet. When we see the nascent Buddha in each other, we are more likely to find it within ourselves. Communities like this church are a vital place for such practice, We need practice so we can remain open and not pull away, even in fearful times. You will need open-hearted generosity in all its forms in the months and years ahead. As you go in to search for and you call a new minister, and as together you embark on a new vision with energy and open hearts. And remember that you practice generosity not simply for others, not just so that this church might survive and thrive, but for yourselves. Whose life is changed more by an act of generosity and kindness? The Samaritan's or the person who was beaten and bloodied? This is a question with many answers, but I can tell you from my own experience about a time that such generosity changed me. I will tell you the story of perhaps the greatest harm I have ever caused another person. My worst waking nightmare. Some 30 years ago now, I was driving in Berkeley on my way to soccer practice, and I was running late. I had come directly from my stressful job, stressed out about the very thing that was supposed to reduce the stress in my life. I came to a green light to make a left turn, and I had just enough time to make the turn in front of an oncoming car. I never saw the two pedestrians in the crosswalk until they slammed onto the hood of my car and back onto the ground. I leapt out of my car in sheer terror. This was the point that I was supposed to be waking up from my nightmare and finding myself safely in my bed, and instead I saw two women lying seriously injured in the roadway in front of my car. I couldn't breathe, I couldn't think, I couldn't cry. I ran frantically across the street to a gas station and asked them to call an ambulance, and I ran back to my car. Another driver had gotten out of her car and was comforting the women. I climbed on to the hood of my car, and looking down at them, my tears came at last. I sat there weeping. I, too, should be comforting them, but how could I? I was the person who had just hurt them so badly. So I just sat there and I wept terrified tears, looking down at these two damaged people. And I sat, as I sat and through my veil of tears, I saw one of the women looking back at me with the kindest and most forgiving smile I have ever seen. She lay there with what turned out to be several broken bones, and she smiled, as if to say, I know you didn't mean it. I know you were a good person, and you just made a mistake. I forgive you. Her smile came from her eyes and her whole being. It was a moment of grace and perhaps the greatest generosity I have ever received. Somehow, through her own pain, she saw and understood mine. We all have Buddha nature deep within us. This broken and battered woman recognized it in me, and I will never forget the depth of goodness I saw in her face. Sometimes things happen that wrench us out of our narrow, clutching, clinging lives. A Samaritan man finds he cannot walk by a beaten man. A young woman is torn from an evening walk, lying broken in the road, but still recognizes and forgives the person who caused her harm. Practicing generosity calls to us, calls us to the very openness and wholeness we long for. Sometimes all it means is a smile of greeting. Sometimes we are called to help someone in great need. Sometimes we are asked to give of our resources, even as our time and money seem precious and scarce. Sometimes we must forgive one another generously. Generosity of spirit is one of the great spontaneous acts of the human heart. It can arrive in our lives as sheer grace. And yet, the more we practice it, the more our hearts open, and the more abundantly we all live. By practicing generosity, we learn how it feels to live abundantly. We learn how it feels to share the love in our hearts. We learn to give away what we have, knowing that is the only way we can create love. Knowing that this is not only the way we survive, it is how we create the world we want to see, the world in our own hearts, and the world we hope to create beyond. So practice, create, cultivate generosity. This is how we follow the law of love, and this is how we create more love in the world. Practice, create, cultivate generosity. Amen. And blessed be.